As usual, at the end of our session, we have our open Q&A. It's an anonymous Q&A for anyone who is not sure whether it's anonymous or not. And if you go to, if you open up your phones and you go to menti.com like usual every Thursday, menti.com, and the or the code for tonight's Q&A is actually, let me pull it up for you guys. It is actually 3236. 3236-3289. So 3236-3289, that'll be the menti.com code. And if you obviously didn't hear me clearly, if you're on the College Telegram chat, it's also on there, inshallah. All right, guys, so with that, we're going to go ahead and get started.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Can you guys hear me okay? All right, inshallah. Next week, we'll have our microphones, so I won't have to scream. But this week, we're just going to, I'm going to have to project, inshallah. So I apologize if you can't hear me or if I'm too loud. Apologies for that. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Welcome to our continuing reading of this amazing book, Imam al-Ghazali's text on his advices to his student. For those of you who haven't come before or you've never heard of this book is actually just like a small, almost like a diary, like a small booklet in which one of the great scholars of Islam, Imam al-Ghazali, got a letter from his student, almost like an email. And the student basically asked, you know, oh, Imam, what's your greatest advice that you could give me? Because the student had studied with him for like multiple years, maybe two decades. And he had covered all of the Islamic sciences that any one of us could imagine. But at the end of all of that, at the end of all of that academic pursuit, there was still something that he felt like he was missing, right? And so he kind of wanted more of like a purpose-driven lesson, something that was a little bit deeper than just textbooks. And so Imam al-Ghazali, he writes back this letter or this long book of 25 letters. And each of the letters kind of has its own theme. And each grouping of letters kind of has its own sort of like greater theme, right? So right now, Imam al-Ghazali is discussing the idea of sincerity. And this is something that everybody struggles with. You know, I can't tell you how many times I only prayed because my mom told me to, right? Like I prayed because I knew that if I didn't pray, I was either going to get in trouble or I wasn't going to get what I wanted to. Or I did something because maybe everybody else was doing it. You know, I kind of just prayed sunnah. How many of y'all have prayed sunnah because everybody else got up to pray sunnah? You're just sitting there at a gathering and everyone's like, let's pray sunnah. And you're like, I'm going to feel really bad if I don't get up and do this, right? And so those moments are good. Of course, you know, you still get reward for doing some good, but there's that sweetness that can only be felt in a moment that's 100% authentic. And that's when you know that you've done something truly for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, what does that phrase mean to you, to do something for the sake of Allah? It means that not a single other person was on your mind. You know, there's all these like Instagram reels or TikToks now where the guy is like praying at the masjid next to Fatima's Baba. And, you know, there's like the whole perspective is like, oh, I've never met your daughter before. Ah, I don't know who you are. I'm just praying next to you, right? And the idea is like, it's a joke and people laugh at it. But the reality is that there's a lot of kind of toxicity in that idea, right? There's a story that scholars tell. It's probably not authentic, but it's funny nonetheless. About a guy who's praying at the masjid and he's trying to do so because he wants to impress, you know, the father of a girl that he likes. And so he's praying and he's standing there really long and his posture is like really good. And he's just standing. And he hears the father of the girl behind him and he's just praising this guy. Oh my God, look at how religious he is. Look at how pious he is. Look at how long he's praying. And they're all talking about him. And as he's being talked about, you can just see him. He's like lathering himself in this praise. He loves it. He's like, yes, yes, this guy loves me. This guy loves me. And then all of a sudden the praise kind of starts to die down. So he begins to get worried because insincere people, when they stop getting that praise they're looking for, their hearts start to shake because that's what they chase. So as the father of the girl stops praising him, remember he's supposed to be in prayer, he turns around and he says, guess what? I'm fasting too, right? So while he's praying, he breaks his prayer completely and lets the people know behind him, hey, you ran out of stuff to talk about? I'm fasting as well, mashallah, right? In order to sort of keep getting that praise. But he didn't realize, of course, how foolish this would look. And so this is kind of like the caricature of what all of us to some degree, experience when we do things. Why do we talk the way we talk? Why do we dress the way we dress? Why do we do the things that we do? Are they truly for Allah? If you had to stand on the Day of Judgment and the only deeds that were there with you were the ones that you did only for Allah, how many deeds would you have? Right? It's a question that all of us got to kind of reconcile with, right? So Imam al-Ghazali, he gives us kind of like this amazing checklist and a great story to kind of remember as far as you know, how to keep ourselves in check. Do you guys have the reading with you? We try to print it out for everybody. So if you have it, the way that this works is one of y'all is going to read nice and loud, and then I'm going to stop you. We're going to make some points, have some discussion, and then keep going. Because this is the classical way that we learn with our mashayikh as well, right? Not that I'm a mashayikh, but you learn with your teachers in this way. So who wants to read for us? Nice and loud, inshallah. I heard how loud y'all were talking like 5 minutes ago. Everyone now apparently lost their voice. Who could read nice and loud? I'm going to call on Saad because his jersey is sick. Nice and loud, Saad. Okay. A little bit louder. No, first one. Again, one more time. This is. I'm going to stop you. I'm sorry. I'm not rude. This is just how it goes, right? Plus, Saad and I, we're cool. So this is amazing. That's like, I mean, I don't want to sound like a tool, but that's like a perfect tweet right there. He who does not work, that person will not find any ajr, right? Lam tajid al-ajr, that they won't find any reward. The only way that a person finds reward is if they work, right? Yes or no? Can you not show up to work and get paid? Can you not do the assignments and get your grade? We know this. This is a principle of life. The only way that a person gets that reward, that merit that they're looking for is by doing work, okay? Next, keep going. Okay, pretty scary, huh? What would you do? What would you do if you prayed, you got up and prayed Fajr for the first time on your own in your life? And Angel Jibreel shows up and is like, thank you for doing that. That's good that you did that, but you're not going to heaven. How many of you would show up to class if the teacher told you that you're not gonna pass on the first day? Or maybe midway through the semester, you've done all this work and the professor's like, it's not gonna work, you're not gonna pass. Would you keep going? Be honest. All right, there's like a few honest people, the rest of us are liars. We're like, yeah, I'd go. I love knowledge for the pursuit of knowledge, right? It's all about enrichment of the mind, brother. No, right? Most human nature is driven by gratification, by satiating some sort of appetite, okay? That's why if your teacher tells you on the first day, if your teacher mentions to you that what? There's no attendance being taken in this class, what do? Does anyone show up to class? What are the days you circle on the syllabus? Exam day, very good, right? There's also a fellow Batamese guy in here, just like me, okay? If a teacher tells you on the first day, there's no attendance being taken, you go straight to the syllabus and you circle exam days. That's it, right? And you set reminders for those. Everything else, you're like, I'll figure it out. That's how we work. How do you drive at a yellow or a red light if you know that there's no camera there? How do you drive? A little bit more cash, right? What if you know there's a camera? Man, you stop at a green light. If there's a camera, you're like, whoa, I'm not going to get busted here, right? Or if you know that there are police, we always respond to accountability. It's the way that we work. That's why the Day of Judgment exists, because that's the way human beings operate, okay? So check this out. This man, he says from Bani Israel, from a previous nation, that he worshipped Allah 70 years, that's a lifetime. That's an entire lifetime, subhanAllah. And he says, فَأَرَادَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, that Allah Ta'ala wanted to test this person. And so he sent the angel to this person, and Allah Ta'ala sent the angel to go and tell them, right, what? That you will not, even though you've worshipped Allah, you will not attain paradise. You will not attain paradise. Now be honest, everybody here. How many of you at that point you'd feel a little bit crushed? A little bit disheartened? Raise your hand. Me too. Absolutely. What does this guy respond? Go ahead, Saad. Wow. Allahu Akbar. He says, the man responds, he's sitting there after being told you're not going to go to paradise, and he says, نَحْنُ خُلِقُنَا لِعِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. We were created to worship Allah. That's my purpose. That's why I'm created in the first place. فَيَنْبَغِي لَنَا أَنْ نَعْبُدَهُ. That it's upon us that we have to worship him. It's just the reality of it, right? So the angel goes back to Allah Ta'ala and tells Allah, oh Allah, أَنْتَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ. You know exactly what your servant said, right? I don't have to report it back to you, oh Allah. You know everything. And subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala said, because this person did not turn away from my worship, then I will not turn away from them. And he said, bear witness that I have forgiven this person all of their sins and that they will be given paradise. How does this make sense logically? What was being tested here? What happened? It's a happy ending, right? This could be turned into like a Disney film. What happened? What was like the... This is a very deep part of his letter, by the way. For those of you, this is your first time here, you're like, I was not ready for this on a Thursday. That's fine. This is a very deep part, but there's a huge lesson in it, okay? What do you guys think? What are some things that stick out about this story to you? Any part of it? Yes. Yeah. Have you guys ever started out with an intention and midway your intention changed? Yes or no? Have you guys ever started out with an intention and in the middle of it you're tested, but then like you kept your intention? Let's say that you were going to go do some like charity work and you and a bunch of friends were going to go downtown and hand out food to those who are hungry, who are in need. And that morning, you're getting ready, you get a text from three or four of your friends, and what do? They bail. They flake. They need Head and Shoulders, right? They flake. They're out. What do you do at that moment? You're like, I don't want to go by myself. It's not safe. COVID. I don't want to be the only person. Starts to sort of manufacture these excuses as to why you shouldn't go. But in reality, those excuses, every single one of them is actually more of like a what? An indictment against your intention in the first place. Were you going to actually help people? To serve what Allah Ta'ala told us to do? And you know what's crazy? When it comes to charity, in the Quran, Allah mentions in Surah Al-Insan that إِنَّمَا نُتْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجِهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. That the purest intention when you feed somebody or when you donate is not to get a tax write-off. It's not to earn hours. It's not to hang out with your friends. It's not for FaceTime. That the person who spends time donating or doing good deeds, that person, they say in response when somebody thanks them, I didn't do this for you. It sounds a little bit offensive. Imagine somebody's like, thank you for the food. You're like, hey, don't thank me. I didn't do this for you. They're like, what? Why are you being so mean? But that person's response is instead highlighting what? I did this for Allah. It's irrelevant how you feel. Right? Have you guys ever done something really nice for somebody and they said something really bad in return? Or they didn't notice? Or they hurt your feelings? Right? I once had a friend that we were talking and he was like, you know, I invite people over all the time and no one invites me over back. That was like a big deal for him. He's like, I invite people over all the time and not a single person that I invite over invites me back. I'm going to stop inviting people over. That's what he said. I said, maybe you do something when you invite them over. Like maybe you hurt their feelings or something. But I actually had this conversation with his brother from this exact chapter. And I said, if you are inviting them over because hospitality is part of what you want to show, then keep inviting them over. But if you're only inviting them over to get some sort of invite back, then stop. Because that intention is not good. Abu Bakr Siddiq one time was serving an elderly woman. And he used to make it a habit to go and do this, but nobody else knew. So Umar, one time he followed him out into the edge of the city. And he saw Abu Bakr after Fajr one morning going and taking care of this elderly woman. He saw that Abu Bakr was like sweeping and cleaning and setting everything up. And Umar said, this is a strange thing for the Khalifa to do. Why would the leader of the Ummah go out and take care of one elderly woman's home? Is this like his aunt or something? Is there some sort of relationship that I don't know about? So Umar, even though he's really big and he's really, you know, like large and he can't hide very easily, he hides and he tries to like, you know, make sure that he's not seen. When Abu Bakr leaves the lady's house, Umar, he goes and knocks on the door and he finds out that that lady is what? She's blind. She can't see. So he's like, subhanAllah. So he thinks internally like, what on earth? This lady can't see. So he talks to her and he says to her, in Arabic, he says, my mother, right? My mother is an endearing term that somebody would use. It's like saying auntie. You know how you guys have like a million aunties, but they're not actually your aunt? So you go to school and you're like, yeah, I was at my aunt's house for dinner last weekend. They're like, you have 37 aunts. Like, how many children did your grandparents have? That's wild, right? You're like, relax, Kevin. It's okay, okay? So Umar, he says, yeah, ummi, which is just an endearing term. It's not his actual mother. And he says to her, do you know what's happening in your house? Do you know what's happening? She goes, yes. There's a person who knows that I can't take care of everything. And he comes and every couple of days he comes out and he helps me, takes care of my chores. Because I'm an old woman, I can't do it anymore. I'm elderly, I have no one else to take care of me. So he goes, okay, that's fine. You know, good thing to do. But do you know who's doing it? Are you aware like who this person is? And she says, no. And he says, why? Have you ever asked his name? She goes, of course I've asked his name. Umar says, what does he say? She says, he refuses to tell me his name. He refuses to tell me his name. Every time I say, who are you? He says, don't worry about it. And this is Abu Bakr. So Umar, when he hears that, he starts crying. And he walks away from her house. Imagine, she's like, what did I do? She doesn't know. He starts crying and he leaves. And you know what he says? He raises his hands and he goes, my gosh. He goes, Abu Bakr, you are making it impossible for us to catch you, man. How can we keep up with you? There's no way. Your sincerity is like next level. Everybody who does something usually does it for some reason, for praise or for something. How? How is it possible? So Imam al-Ghazali, he includes this story because he wants to demonstrate to us what is the height of a good deed. The height of a good deed is that you don't do it for somebody else. You don't do it for praise or appreciation or merit. In fact, this is going to get deep, y'all. You ready? You don't even do it primarily for Jannah. Of course, hold on. Everyone's like, wait a minute. I had a deal. We made a deal, right? I pray and I get Jannah. We made a deal. No, this is the reality, okay? How many mistakes do we make every day? You know what the new nervous tick is? You know how people used to like do this and stuff? Now it's fixing masks. You ask an awkward question, everyone's like, oh God, right? That's the new one, right? Get used to it, okay? So everyone used to do other things, look at their phone, now it's fixing their mask. Okay, how many of us make mistakes every day? Anyone here missed a prayer before ever in their life? We have one guy in the back, Angel Jibril himself. It's an honor. It's a pleasure to meet you, Angel Jibril. No, you've missed a prayer, okay? Okay? We've made mistakes. And you know what's crazy? SubhanAllah. When we make a mistake, if you don't pray Fajr, if you don't make Fajr tomorrow morning, do you wake up and as soon as you realize you didn't pray Fajr, does Allah like take away your body for that day? Does He stop your breathing? Does He say, nope? Does He even take away like your money or your fun or whatever? No, He doesn't do any of that. My mother used to tell me that this is a sign that we don't deserve anything. You know, when Musa doesn't clean up his toys, what do I do as a parent? Musa's my four-year-old. What do I do as a dad? When he doesn't clean up his Mario Legos and he wants to play on his iPad, I say, no. No iPad until you clean up, right? So he has to know that in order to earn privileges, you got to take care of your responsibilities. Allah is so generous that even when we don't handle our responsibilities, we still get the privileges. The only time we run back to Allah is when the privileges start to get a little tightened. You know what I mean? You get a little delayed. You're about to miss a flight. Oh no, oh Allah, please. I know I haven't spoken to you in 3 years. Oh Allah, please. I really need to go, you know? An exam comes. MashaAllah, man. I remember giving halaqat in UTD 2 years ago, I remember. Exam week, I confused it for Ramadan, dude. Like everybody started like wearing hijab, reading Quran, growing their beards, praying. I'd be in the middle of a lecture. They're like, can I call the adhan? I'm like, relax, okay? We have 10 more minutes left. They're like, it's exam week. We need to call the adhan. It's like, you know, whenever Allah, you know, tests us a little bit, all of a sudden the spirituality jumps out. But my mother used to tell me that, subhanAllah, how generous is Allah, that you make a mistake, Allah doesn't just take it away from you right then, right? So this is the Rabb that we're dealing with. And that's why when we do something, we don't do it transactionally. I'm not only praying because of Jannah. That's a transaction, right? And honestly, if you want to do transaction, we're probably not going to get there. You know what I mean? If it's not for the mercy of Allah, we're probably not going to make it on our own. You know what I mean? We need a little bit of help, a lot of it of help. So when it comes to getting Jannah, when it comes to what we're doing good deeds for, you know why we do it? It's very simple, for the sake of Allah. And that maybe even during the prayer that I just prayed, during the salah that I just prayed, I thought about something else. How many of you guys think of your menu during prayer? Maghrib during Ramadan, I don't know if anyone's really thinking about Maghrib, right? Everyone's like fried food, ice cream, lassi, right? Everyone's got their different thoughts and Allah still accepts it from us. There's so many different deficiencies that we have that highlight our distance from Allah, but He still rewards us and gives us Jannah if we do it. So what is Allah looking for? Allah is looking for your effort, right? He's looking for your integrity, your sincerity. And the way you know that you're sincere, are you ready? It's the number one tip, is that when times get bad, you get even more sincere. When you get bad news, you don't just say, that's it, I'm done with this, man. I did what I could, right? I tried. Like mid-semester, your professor tells you, you've tried so hard this semester, but I'm telling you, unfortunately, you're gonna fail. At that point, everyone here agreed. We would be like, all right, you're about to get a zero on Rate My Professor, first of all. And second of all, right, I'm going to order 1,000 Domino's pizzas to your house. Have fun with that. Third of all, I'm not coming to class anymore. I just gave you guys some good pranks, okay? I'm not going to give you my address, though, because I know what's going to happen. I see you, Saad, right? We would all just bail because we are so focused on the reward. But a sincere person, as funny as it sounds, would keep going. So ask yourself one question. When Allah tests you, what do? When something in your life goes bad, how do you respond? If Allah tests me with illness or loss or not getting what I've been praying for, and I can't tell you how many times, guys, the questions, the DMs come in. I've been making dua for this for so long. Why didn't Allah give it to me? How long have you been praying for it? They're like, at least 5 minutes now. So long I've been begging Allah. Why doesn't He give me what I asked for? You just tweeted that make dua, Allah will answer you. And people get so caught up. You guys ever felt like, where is it? Whenever that's being held back, ask yourself, am I going to bail or am I going to dig deeper? If I dig deeper, that's an amazing sign. That's what this guy did. That's what the man from Bani Israel did. The angel told him, you're not going to get Jannah because of this. And he said, doesn't matter. I'm doing what I have to do. I'm doing exactly what I was created to do. And what happened? SubhanAllah. When his sincerity stood the test that Allah put him in, Allah said, you passed. You passed. Right? But what do we know about that test? What do we know about his sincerity? It was never weak to begin with. So when you do any deed, when you do anything, never forget that nothing should stop you from that deed, even the tests that act as speed bumps in your life because Allah Ta'ala is always there. Can I tell you guys a story that reminds me of this always? Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's last days of his life. You know, one of my teachers said, I remember a long time ago, 15 years ago when I was studying with Sheikh Ihab, one of my teachers in Chicago, and he described the death of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, it's the worst day that ever happened to the Ummah. And I remember being like, wow, that's a really, I've never heard that description before. It's the worst day that ever happened to the Muslims, is the death of the Prophet. And then he explained it. He said the Prophet ﷺ was the solution to every problem. How many dinner parties have y'all been to where the uncles just sit and talk about how the Ummah is in ruin and how it's, you know, nothing's going to work in Pakistani politics and this, and what's the point anymore, right? And subhanAllah, if the Prophet ﷺ, when he was alive, you had like a guaranteed answer to every situation. You know, if I disagreed with somebody on what to do, how should Muslims respond to this? Is music halal or haram? Can we eat this meat? All these questions, if the Prophet ﷺ was alive, it would just be like, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, right? Very simple. On top of that, all of those questions, then we also have the crisis of faith. How many companions went to the Prophet ﷺ saying, my heart feels weak, I can't go on, I don't know what to do. And the Prophet ﷺ gave them a solution for their problem. So the worst day to ever befall the Ummah was the day that he passed away. One of the women was caught crying in the city of Medina, and they asked her, were you related to him? Was there some sort of relationship? You're crying very emotionally. And she said, no, wahi has stopped now. The Quran is no longer going to come down. What we have is it. I was looking forward to the next revelation. What we have is it now, right? In that moment, in absolute, you know, the whole city of Medina stopped. The closest thing I could think to it was when COVID hit last March. If you drove out the next day after the stay-at-home order, if you went outside, everyone was just like inside. No one was out. The roads were empty. No one was going to work, obviously. The whole city just stopped. Medina, the day after the Prophet just stopped. And Abu Bakr, his best friend, his closest companion, the one who walked in and saw his body first lying there lifeless. And he took his head, Aisatu Salam, Abu Bakr Siddiq, held the head of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he looked at him and he said to him, you were beautiful in life and you're beautiful in death. And he went to the member of the Messenger of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know what he said? To the people that love the messenger, in the messenger's masjid, he said, if you worship Muhammad, then know Muhammad is gone. But if you worship Allah, then know that Allah is ever living and he never dies. Can you imagine saying that about your best friend, the messenger of God? What kind of sincerity and strength? Umar was in the back of the masjid saying, if anyone says he died, I'm going to kill that person. Little bit of irony there, right? Anyone says he died, you're gonna die. That's how emotional he was. Don't say he died. The Prophet did not die. Don't say that. And Abu Bakr tells him, Umar, sit down. Sit down, I have an announcement. If you worship Muhammad, he is gone. And he said, when I heard those words, it felt like a boulder on my shoulders. I've never felt that sadness in my life. But what was he telling people? In every scenario, even the hardest day of your life, you have to think of why you're doing what you're doing. It is for Allah and nothing else. Because you know why? You're never going to be given the reward of what you deserve here. No one's going to give you what you deserve here. The struggle that you make to serve Allah, you're never going to get what you deserve in this life. For dressing the way that you dress, for turning down those invites to parties, for not going to those gatherings where you know you shouldn't be, for not watching those things you know you shouldn't watch, for not putting yourself in those situations. Your reward in this life is a fraction of what you're going to get later if you did it for Allah. And the only way you're going to be able to remain persistent is if you think of Allah. So this is how Imam Al-Ghazali is reminding his student. No matter where you are, remember that you're doing it for Allah alone. Because when the test hits, your truth is going to show. Who you are is going to reveal itself. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to give us the sincerity and integrity of being able to do exactly what we do for the sake of Allah and for nobody else. We ask Allah Ta'ala to grant us that, inshallah. We have now Ustazah Fatima, who's going to give us the second part of this advice, inshallah. The second half of this advice. Do you want to do it or no? You good? Okay. Bismillah. So she just got done teaching another thing. So we're going to let her, inshallah. I'll switch spots. You can come.
Struggles, bro.
Got you.
All right, you want to start us off? Go ahead with the beginning.
Continue,
inshallah, with the beginning section. Good. So you have here the very first section where Ustad Abdurrahman, he covered it, where Imam Al-Ghazali, he's telling us and giving us the understanding of life. You know, I like to summarize that part is this is life. You know, you'll be tested, things will happen, things are gonna come in your way, it's gonna make you seem like you need to give up. But no, you keep pushing through because you're not working for this world. You're working for the hereafter. And with having that mindset and having that perspective, now Imam Al-Ghazali is giving us the understanding of what we should be focused on our everyday life. And he's saying here that it is so important for you to take into account yourself. Do some reflection on your deeds. Do some reflection on what you're doing. And take them into account before you're taking into account yourself. And the reason why he's saying this is that sometimes what happens is that we are pushing through, right? You just push through, you get through the day. Things are difficult, you get through the day, you're pushing through. But you're not really thinking about your day. You're not really thinking about the things that you've done that day. You're not really thinking about the way that you interacted with your family that day, the way that you interacted with people around you that day. And so here he brings up a narration, and this narration shows us something very important. It shows us that, listen, things are not going to slip through the cracks in the day of judgment. You will be taken into account for everything, good and bad. It's not sometimes when we talk about the day of judgment, we only see it from a very negative standpoint. You know, you're going to be held accountable for all of your bad deeds. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also going to give you your reward for your good ones. He's also going to give you your reward for your good ones. But if you're just trying to get past the day and you're just trying to get through the day, you're not holding yourself accountable for your actions. You ever have a conversation with a friend or someone you're really close to, and perhaps maybe they stop speaking to you for a while, or maybe they're being weird towards you all of a sudden, and then you go to them and you're like, "Why? What's wrong with you? Like, why are you being weird? Why are you acting this way?" And they're like, "Well, last week, Miss or Mister, you said X, Y, and Z to me, and I didn't like it. I didn't like how you treated me." And you're thinking to yourself, "I don't even remember seeing you last week. I don't remember us even hanging out last week." Because what? Maybe you were going through finals. You know, maybe you had like a lot of drama going on at home. Maybe you had so many different issues and situations going on that you didn't even realize your tone and how you were treating someone else. And so this narration is telling us that just because life is going and you don't, you know, you're trying to get on the train with it, it doesn't mean that you neglect being mindful of your actions. It doesn't mean that you neglect being mindful of that which you do. And so the narration, it literally says, "Hasibu anfusakum." Take yourself into account. Take yourself into account. Not only evaluate, you know, evaluate, you can evaluate from like an overview standpoint. This was a good week. When you're taking something into account, what are you doing? What are you doing, guys? Yeah, but are you doing it from a back way, like overview, or what? Are you zooming in? Very good job. You're zooming in. You're zooming in. And it's not telling you to be like harsh on yourself either. It's saying, listen, there's going to become a time when you're going to stand before Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to open your book of deeds. And in order for you to make sure that you're doing the best in this life, you can't go through it being mindless. And actually, the scholars of Tazkiyah, they say that the root of all diseases is ghafla. And ghafla is like a virus, okay? Bad timing, understand, but bear with me. It's like a virus. The longer you leave it to just be free, the more it mutates. And so sure, you're just getting through the day and you're being mindless and you're being mindless about the things that you're doing, but that thing, that mindlessness mutates into neglect. And when it mutates into neglect, then the stuff that you have responsibility over, you don't take care of it. All of a sudden, your prayers are not really that quality. And quality is based off of you, right? All of a sudden, your relationships, they don't have that much quality either. And we don't want to stand on the day of judgment before Allah. And Allah opens this book and he says, look at all your opportunities to do good. And look at the quality of good that you put into it is very little. When you could have had the opportunity to put so much more if you were just mindful. So here you have the narration that says, take yourself into account before you are asked to be accounted for them. There's another ayah in the Quran in Surah Al-Hashr where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha ladina amanu. And the Ya ayyuha ladina amanu verses, the verses of O you who believe, are my favorite currently because I'm doing a whole series on them probably, that's why. But they're so powerful. Because imagine, okay, you're in a gathering, people are like, oh, they're just talking, whatever. You know, that conversation, you can benefit from it. But when someone's talking directly to you, what do? You turn around. Yeah, you focus. You know, you're like, oh, this is a conversation for me to pay attention to. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha ladina amanu, O you who believe. He says, Ittaqullaha. Be mindful and be aware of Allah. Be conscious, be mindful, and be aware of Allah. And then he says, "Wal tandur nafsun," and let every soul consider carefully consider ma qaddamat li gadan, what they put forward for tomorrow. Don't just focus on getting through today. Don't just focus on doing the bare minimum. What are you depositing for your hereafter? What are you depositing that when you stand before Allah, you can say, listen, God, I tried. I really tried. And we've talked about it, that we're not perfect beings. We're not perfect people. It's not asking you to be perfect. It's asking you to put in effort. And part of putting effort is making sure that you're holding yourself accountable. And then the ayah continues, and it says, Wattaqullah, be mindful of Allah, two times in one ayah. Be mindful of Allah. Inna Allah khabirun. Know that Allah is all-knowing. God is aware. He's not telling you to be mindful of what you're putting forth tomorrow for his sake. He knows. He's telling it for your sake, for what you can do better, for what you can achieve, for what you can benefit from. And then he says, Inna Allah khabirun bima ta'malun. Allah knows and is aware of every single thing that you do. Saad, can you keep reading for us, please?
He said, those who think that they can achieve
their dreams, their aims without work or energy, and those who think they will attain divorce through exertion alone, are only confident and consider themselves self-sufficient. Very good job. It says, those who think that they can achieve their aims, that they can achieve their goals, that they will reach all of these, you know, the new year started, you know what I'm saying? I understand that we're in March, but to me, it's still the new year, okay? It's still the new year until May, right? So the new year started. You got this whole cute little planner, vision board, you know, all these nice things, okay? I'm like really offending people. It's okay. We're going to work on it. We're going to do better, right? And you're like, these are all the things I want to work on. And you don't put in any effort for it at all. Zero. And then 7 months later, December comes around and you're upset. How come I did not save $15,000? Well, I don't know. You ate boba every day. You drink coffee every day. You know, you're hungry all the time. Of course you're not going to save any money, but you're so upset. I can't believe my bank account betrayed me. No, you betrayed you. You did you dirty. Because what is he saying? Those who set goals and they don't put in any effort towards those goals. I'm not trying to come for you foodies at all. You know, just have a separate account, you know, a little budget for your food. That way you can stop playing yourself every month. Just get a separate little budget, okay? But what he's saying is that those of you who set goals and you sincerely say, I want to achieve these goals, but you do not put in any effort, you're fooling yourself. How are you going to achieve something that you don't put in any effort for? And then he continues and he says, but also look at the other side. Those who work very hard and think that the outcome is in their hands, they're also fooled. And this is so powerful because there are so many instances in our lives, and you guys can sit here and you can think about them, that you've put in effort for something. And sure, you may have worked very hard for that thing, but the reward or the amount and the outcome that came out of it, you know for sure it wasn't one for one. You know for sure it wasn't the amount of effort that you put in and what you got out of it, it was miraculous. It was miraculous. Because that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's so profound because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this. He tells us. He says, man ja'a bi hasana, whoever comes with a single good deed, a single good deed, does one single thing, puts in effort for one single thing, falahu khayrun minha, they will always get better than that. They will always get more than it. They will always benefit more than the effort that they put in. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِسَيِّئَةِ, but whoever comes with a bad deed or something wrong, they did one single bad thing, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا يُجْزَى الَّذِينَ عَمَلُوا سَيِّئَاتِ إِلَّا مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, that person will only get equal to what the effort they put in, equal to what they did. So what is being said here is that tawakkul, having trust and reliance in Allah, is you putting in your effort, you doing the best that you can with the capability and the ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, but recognize the results is in the hands of Allah. And that sometimes you may work really hard for that class and still fail it, but there was something else that you were supposed to get out of that. There was something else that was supposed to come out of that moment because you worked really hard. You did. You did the best that you could, but Allah didn't will it for you to pass that class. And you will find that there are many other opportunities and doors and things that open later on in your life, be it tomorrow, be it 5 years later, that you're like, if that thing did not happen, if I didn't fail that class, if I didn't stumble at that moment, despite the hard work that I put into it, I wouldn't have these opportunities that I have today. I wouldn't be in the comfortable position that I'm in today. And so he says, don't be deluded. Don't be deluded in thinking that, okay, if I just work hard, then I know exactly what I'm going to get out of this. You will never know exactly what you're going to get out of it. You work hard, yes, because that's part of using the blessing that God has given you, the ability. But you leave the results in the hands of Allah. And that's why they say that action is an act of the limbs, but tawakkul is the act of the heart. The actions is the act of your hands. Hands and your capabilities, but reliance and true trust in Allah, that is an action of the heart. That you leave the results in the hands of Allah. Continue with the last section.
Allah has verse 9 said, seeking in the man's paradise without actions is a sin from amongst the sins. He also said, the sign of attaining reality is in giving up the dark word, not in giving up the word.
Keep going.
The messenger of Allah said, the wise man is he who enjoys himself and works for what is after him, and the fool is he who pursues his desires and only longs for other people.
Very good job. There are two things here. The first one is a statement by Hassan al-Basri, and it says that seeking and demanding paradise without actions is a sin from amongst the sins. Why is that? Seeking and demanding paradise without actions is a sin from amongst the sin. That's a very strong statement. Why is that? You're being entitled. You're being entitled. It's like me walking into PAX and saying, All right, it's my place now. I own it. I watched a YouTube video on how to make coffee, so it's my place. Did I put in any effort for it? Did I put in any money for it? Did I put in any work for it? Did I even talk to the owner? No, I just walked in and said, okay, give it up. All right, you made it all pretty. You made it all nice. Thank you for getting me comfortable. He's saying that this entitlement that we live in, and sometimes, you know, when we read these statements, we're like, yeah, none of us, I'm going to walk into paradise and just take it. But how many little things are you in? How many little things do you show entitlement towards? Like when you walk in the house and your parents haven't put food on the table and you're like, you seriously didn't cook today? Are we having this again? I remember I did that to my grandmother one time. I will never forget. I was 7 years old and I would ask her every single day, what did you cook? And she would mention the same Gambian dish Monday through Thursday. Friday was a special day because it's Friday. Okay. And one day she was prepared for me. I walked in and I asked her, what did you cook? And she told me, and I said, that again? And she said, why don't you make something different? And I was seven, okay? And this is Gambia, you know? There's not a stove, I don't have a stool. Like, it's like, go get the firewood, bring it, go to the marketplace. Every single day, they went to the marketplace to get the different vegetables and stuff that will be cooked. Every day. And to me at 7 years old, that's why I was offended, because I'm like, you went to the marketplace every day and you got the same thing. So she's like, why don't you make it? Why don't you put in effort? Why don't you make something different so we can all eat today? And I learned a very valuable lesson at 7 years old, that I am not entitled to anything. That what people do for me, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does for me, I am to be grateful for it. Because my grandmother told me after that, she said, yes, we're supposed to feed you, but what I feed you is not written. Like, I don't have to give you nice stuff. I could feed you bread and butter. I can just give you just a little bit of grain. That will be sufficient for you. And so what are the things that you feel entitled to every single day? Every single day you walk in. Well, why don't I have this type of car? Why don't I have this type of, you know, clothes? Why can't I have this? Why can't I have that? Why do you deserve it? What have you done to deserve it? Why do we live in this type of house? These are things that you have to think about. Because the way that sins work, or the way that grave thinking works, is that it never just starts off with you feeling entitled to paradise. That's absolutely ridiculous. But it starts off with you feeling entitled to very little things. And you keep picking up on these crumbs until it becomes a whole loaf of bread. You keep picking up on these little things until it becomes a big problem. And so you have to curve that way of thinking on a daily basis. And then the next part says that the sign of attaining reality is in giving up regard for work, not in giving up the work. You don't give up the work. You don't stop your action. You don't give up. But you don't also, like, you know, if we're expecting our relationship with Allah to be transactional, we will always come up, we will always fall short in what we owe Allah. We will always fall short in what we owe Allah. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the only way you will receive full reward is if every single one of your salah is perfect, how many of you think you've received full reward before in your life? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the only way, which is fair, right? Because He gives us the right way to pray. He breaks it down very clearly for us, right? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the only way that you will receive the reward of Ramadan is only if you fast perfectly, if you're, you know, you fast from being negative, you fast from all these things, like you have a perfect Ramadan, then you will get your full reward. It's fair, right? We have clear instructions on how to do it. Are we capable of it? Possibly. How many of us have accomplished that? Allah is so much merciful to us than we will ever be to ourselves. And so you don't give up the work. You keep putting your best foot forward. And last but not least, then there's this last part, this last narration. And it says, the wise man is he who judges himself and works for what is after death. Brings it back full circle. Don't just focus on today, recognize that there's a tomorrow. And that tomorrow is what's more important. This life, yes, it's meant to enjoy, it's meant to do, it's meant to use. You know, nobody's telling you like, okay, I'm gonna go sit in the corner and never speak to another human being again until I die. Like, no, you enjoy it. You live your life, you do you. Doing you, keeping in mind that you will answer to Allah tomorrow. Do you, keeping in mind that this body, this ability, every single thing that I have is from Allah. And I should use it in the way that God wants me to use it. Doesn't, I promise you, it doesn't make your life miserable. It makes it 100 times better. It makes you, you know, your authentic you that everybody likes to talk about. I want to be authentically myself. Guess what? God shows you how. Allah shows you how. How to be your best self. I hate talking like the internet, right? And then the last part of the narration says, and the fool, the person who's deluded, is he who pursues his own desires. You just live your whole life just following whatever you want to follow with no regard to the roadmap that God has given you, with no regard to the religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid out in front of you. While vainly longing and thinking that Allah, longing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, vainly, very vainly. Meaning like you're like, hey, I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of me. I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, you know, forgive me all of my sins. That's very possible. That's very possible. But not trying your best to live a life that is good in the eyes of Allah is actually being very ungrateful for the life that God gave you. Is actually being very ungrateful for the life that God gave you. Why? Because Allah gave you so many blessings and so many opportunities to be great. I always talk about potential because potential is one of the things that once I learned what it really is, unused energy, I was like, that's such a waste. That is such a waste. Every single one of us has been created with so much potential to be so great. But potential is just that. It is there until you decide that I want to use it. It is there until you decide that I want to tap into this. Potential, you can be, this person has such potential to be the best student ever. They have so much potential to be a president. Are you a president? No. Are you the best student? No. Don't just live your life thinking like, okay, yeah, tomorrow, I'll get to it. No. You can do it today. You can accomplish it today. You can be great today. You have it in you because God created you great. He created you with that potential to be great and gave you the liberty to use it. And so here, this last section that Imam Ghazali talks about in advice number 5, is that he's letting us know, listen, hold yourself accountable for all the things that you have the ability to do. Hold yourself accountable for how much better you can be. Don't come down on yourself and be like miserable, no. But recognize that every single one of you has the ability to be good, has the ability to be great, has the ability to, you know, go beyond what you can even imagine. And you have to hold yourself to that. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.
Alrighty. Do you have any questions in the 99? All right. Anyone have any questions they want to ask at all tonight in person? Not submitted. Okay. Cool. Everyone's hungry. Yeah. Okay. Inshallah. What do we have tonight? Nachos?
No. Actually, wraps.
We have wraps. We have food for you guys tonight. Inshallah. Jazakallah khairan. As we said before, every Thursday, inshallah, we're going to be here. We will eventually get to the point where we're going to be serving coffee and drinks and boba and stuff like that. But tonight being our first night here, we didn't want to just, you know, jump back there and take over, you know, being entitled, as Salahuddin was saying. So thank you guys so much for coming. Be safe, inshallah. Get home safe, inshallah. We'll see you guys next Thursday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I think the food.